question was asked, there are times where a person can inflict harm or damages to someone else, and they can be very sincerely sorry for what they've done, but that doesn't mean they can rectify what they've done. Sometimes a person can inflict harm on someone else, and even if they pay them back, they're not really capable of making amends. Or your example where a person's dog bit off a girl's face, half her face, and now for the rest of her life she has to deal with the damages of that. So I want to break down our question into a few segments. Shlomo HaMelech says in Ecclesiastes and Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech says, Dimat HaShukim, there is the tier of the people who were wronged. People took advantage of them, people withheld their wages, people took advantage. HaAshuk, Ashuk means someone who, he was rightfully entitled to legally, other people were able to withhold from him. Sometimes it's wages, sometimes it's other things. Ve'ein lehem menachem, Shlomo HaMelech says, and no one can comfort them. And they can sometimes see how the man who afflicted them, he's still so powerful, and no one can comfort them. And this, the Talmud asks, what's this talking about? So the Talmud says it's talking about a parent who does something and inflicts a defect in their child. So the parent can cause a birth defect or another defect after the child's born. Your example of a dog, but the Talmud takes it a step further, a parent who inflicts harm to their child. So it says sometimes a child grows up with parents who are problematic, to put it gently, and you can't change it. Meaning a child can be born into the world and they have a deformity because their mother drank alcohol while she was pregnant. And now as much as the mother will say, I'm sorry, she can't make it up to them, right? There are things, how many times do we see that women are told to be on bed rest during their pregnancy? And they refuse to listen and they don't realize that they're playing with the whole life. That life might be born and then have so many challenges. I know a child that had 3 strokes within the first week he was alive. So he has a lot of challenges in his life. So parents don't always take seriously the doctor's recommendation. Stay in bed rest during this pregnancy. And I'm not coming to throw blame. Parents are blessed with kids when they're young and they don't really understand what they're doing. And Shlomo HaMelech says, we see in life there are scenarios where one person can inflict lifelong harm on someone else. Ve'ein lehem menachem. They have no comforter, says Shlomo HaMelech. It is one of Shlomo HaMelech's frustrations in Ecclesiastes. He says, it's not only the world God created, it's the ability of one man to harm another man who seems completely innocent, this child. And there's no way he's going to make it up to him. So if our question is, in the global scale of what's fair and right, you're right. Shlomo HaMelech pointed out, there is a philosophical challenge when we see this. If your question is vis-a-vis man and his fellow man, which is the way you portrayed it, that's another question we'll get to in a second. Yes?
No, but the child that got the birth defect does know better. Like, it was born this way, does know better.
They know better. They grow up and they find out full well. Their mother did crack, and that's why they were born this way. Their mother drank booze, and that's why they were born this way. Sure they know. It's only a matter of time till they find out.
They don't know how their life could have been different. They don't know. It's like a blind person doesn't know how to see.
Right, but it says in Tractate Sanhedrin, we don't accept testimony from a person who has a handicap, because the assumption is that when a person has to go through life with a handicap, there's an internal embitterment that they have watching the rest of the world live without that handicap. The fact that a child who cannot talk doesn't know because he's never experienced talking, or a person who grows up deaf doesn't know what it means to hear because they've never experienced hearing, does not change the fact that they have a very big challenge being a positive person in this world, because there's an intrinsic challenge not to hate everyone, because there's this jealousy. Why does everyone else have this? You're sitting in a room, everyone's laughing. You don't even know what they're laughing about. And so the Talmud says in Tractate Sanhedrin, we don't accept testimony from people who were born with handicaps, because our assumption is we can't gauge how they handled that challenge. You accept testimony, you have to believe the person that they mean to do what's good. And here you have a person that was dished out a challenge from heaven. And one of the first things that Rav Nisim Gaon discusses in his work of Jewish philosophy, which he wrote a book, a storybook, and the storybook is really a book of Jewish philosophy. One of the first questions he deals with is, why does God create people who have handicaps? Why does God do that? That's a question that one of the Roman emperors asked one of the rabbis. But coming back to here, if our question is about the idea that human beings suffer and sometimes at the hands of someone else, yes, that idea is a challenging one philosophically. You're right. Now you're asking, what can a person do to make amends? So that's another question we can get to in a minute.
But it seems like more easy to do tshuva than the person who has to say, accept the tshuva from the other person.
No one has to accept the tshuva.
The consequences, you don't have to accept them.
One step at a time. It says that if a person did you harm, then you don't have to accept their apology until they rectify the harm. Person can't say, you know, I'm so sorry, as they're twisting your arm. I'm really sorry. I do that with my kids, jokingly. Sometimes I'll tickle them, and I'll say, I'm so sorry I'm tickling you, as I'm tickling them. They realize it's a joke, right? But in real life, if someone were to say, I'm sorry, as they're doing something, so a person stole $1 million from me, and he comes out, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. You talk to me after you made amends. You can't make amends, don't tell me you're sorry. Talk to God, don't talk to me. What does that have to do with me? I mean, the Gemara says, if you saw a sage, big tzaddik, do something wrong, so don't walk around thinking, oh, he did something wrong. Tell yourself, he probably made amends. He probably fixed it. The Talmud says, that's assuming it's something he could have fixed. But what if it's something that he has to pay back? You found out that he took money he shouldn't have taken. So then don't assume he did anything. If he paid back the money, you can assume that he did tshuva. If he didn't, then he didn't. If it's something that you say, oh, I saw him doing something inappropriate, so then assume, okay, he had a weak moment, then by tomorrow morning, hopefully he did tshuva for that weak moment. But if it's something that involves money, when he pays back, then you could assume he did tshuva. If he didn't pay back, you don't have to, don't assume he did anything. So coming back to here, there are definitely areas where a person's tshuva is limited. A person can't say, yeah, I'm sorry, when he, you know, he hacked off someone's hand, he's going to have to live the rest of his life without a hand. Now he's going to say, I'm sorry? What does that sorry do? There's the payment of damages, but then there's the, how do you get a person to be willing to forgive you if you can? That's a different story. Meaning there's, on damages, you do what you can.
You try to fix the problem?
For sure, if you can. If you can, for sure you should fix it. That's what it says. But you can't always, right? There's a famous story about a person who came to the Rebbe and said, I said Lashon Hara. How do I do tshuva? I badmouthed my neighbor and I hurt his reputation. How do I do tshuva? So the Rebbe says to him, go to the marketplace in the afternoon as the shops are about to close. Go there 20 minutes before sunset. Take a pillow, slit open the pillow, shake out all the
feathers,
thank you, and then collect all the feathers into the pillow. After you've collected all the feathers into the pillow, you've paid your dues, and that's your tshuva. The guy goes, Rebbe, that easy? He says, yeah. Okay, he goes to the marketplace, it's Thursday afternoon, slits open the pillow, shakes out all the feathers, and starts collecting them. It's got 20 minutes to sunset. People are walking back and forth. Feathers are flying here, feathers are flying there. He grabs one, he runs after the other, he grabs another. Feathers are flying all over. He's running all around the marketplace, and he collects, and he collects, and he collects, and the sun sets. And he's collecting, and the whole night long he's going all around the marketplace trying to find feathers. The sun rises in the morning. He spent the whole night looking for feathers. People are back in the marketplace going back and forth. He hasn't even half filled his pillowcase. He looks around, he spends another few hours trying, and he realizes they're gone. There's no way I can do it. He comes back to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I tried, but I don't even have 2/3 of the pillowcase full again. What can I do? The Rebbe said, that's Lashon Hara. You said something negative about someone, you harmed their reputation. You can't bring it back in. right? You can't get all those feathers back in. What does that mean? I want to do, what do you want to do, tshuva? Yeah, go fix it. Don't just walk in and say, give me some amulet and my tshuva is done. No, fix it. Fix the person's pain, fix the person's reputation, fix what you can. If you can. You can't just walk in and say, oh, look, I'm really sorry. Don't tell me you're sorry. You know, I once came back from the cleaners with a jacket, a suit jacket. And I put it on my suitcase. I was leaving for Shabbos. Someone walked by. It had just rained and there was a mud puddle. And he knocked off the jacket into the mud. So I pick it up. And this jacket that was fresh from the cleaners now has to go back to the cleaners. So the guy goes, I'm really sorry. You forgive me? I said, after you take it back to the cleaners and bring it back clean, I could forgive you. So the guy goes, why are you so tough? Why do you have to be so tough with me? I said, what do you mean tough? I just paid 40 shekel to have it cleaned. You just destroyed it. Fix it. So the guy looks at me and he goes, where's your mercy? Where's your kindness? Why can't you be a decent human being? Why do you have to be so tough with me? And he walks off. So that's a man who, like you said, let me just say I'm sorry. What do you mean you're sorry? You ruined something, fix it. You can't just say you're sorry. It doesn't work. You can't absolve, not you, I'm saying a person can't absolve their responsibility to make amends and just walk on and say, look, I'm really sorry, you forgive me. Why should I? What does that mean I should forgive you? Fix what you've done wrong, then we could talk about forgiveness. It's the next step. It's not the first step. The first step is to fix what one's done wrong. And if he can't, he has a problem. Like the Talmud says, a person who had scales that were dishonest, he has a problem because he has no way of knowing who he stole, how much money he stole from. So he has a problem. Go find it. So Talmud says he has no choice. Let him build something that's a public service. And then over time, hopefully he'll pay people back. He'll build a bridge. He'll do something that's a public service. Over time, he can hope that he's found a way to pay people back. That's money. You're saying there are situations where there are other damages. You're right. There are situations where a person's run himself up a creek. Just like Shlomo Amel's example. Right? So that's, the scary thing is we have to try to make amends. We also have to realize a number of things. Number one, try not to get there. Meaning not to get ourselves into such a scenario. And number two, I turned this on for our pizza guy. So now we can turn it off. What? number two is, at the end of the day, we can be positive people if we don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm the worst person in the world. Meaning, it's true that there are realities that we cannot undo. It's true. We've all lived through circumstances that we wish we would have done different. There are ramifications for what we did this way. And we can't undo those ramifications. And a person has to be able to reach a certain peace and say, I'm sorry, I am sorry. Whatever amends I can make, I have made. And at this point, I have to move on. Wallowing in the sorrow of the past doesn't fix it. It just prevents me from building a better future. That doesn't mean he's fixed it. It just means a healthy person says, I do what I can do. And then I say, the rest, there's nothing I can do. Now I have to move on. It doesn't mean he's fixed it. It just means I can't do more than that. So at this point, I'll have to move on. I'll have to try and see if there are other ways of fixing it, other ways of making amends. But I have to move on. If I'm going to spend my life looking back, I have a problem.
But where does it leave him? Like, in terms of his tshuva, where does it leave him?
Tshuva is not only about fixing one thing. We once had a student. He exaggerated. He had a girlfriend that did an abortion and he felt he should have been more forceful in stopping her. But he didn't tell me this. One day we were having a conversation and he says to me, what kind of tshuva can I do? I've killed someone. That was the way he presented it. Only later on did I understand what he said. But in the conversation he didn't say it that way. In the conversation he said to me, I killed someone. Now how do I do tshuva? So the answer is, how would I know? What do I know? I wasn't there. Yeah. I was like, do you still own a gun? I'll try not to get you upset. I don't know, right? I'm meeting a guy, this is what he says. So our rule is that tshuva works when you can be positive. Tshuva is about building our personality. It's not a one-item thing. Even though I might have to work on a certain item, but at the end of the day, tshuva is holistic. I have to build everything about my life. I have 613 mitzvot I have to do. It's not about one thing. And when a person gets hung up on one thing and he says, but how am I ever going to fix that? Okay, I have to sometimes designate a certain amount of time for one thing, but I have to move on. I can't stay with that one thing. You know, that's very often you stay with that, you get nowhere. It's really a yetzer hara to stay focused. I'll stay on that. No. Very often that stunts a person's ability to grow. Again, I whatever I can do, I will do. And whatever I can't do, I have to be at peace with and move forward.
Divorces, in most cases, it's only one of the parts who wants to get divorced. Isn't that also like one way not to forgive the other, getting a divorce?
It's very tough. There is a response of the Chassam Sofer, or the Chassam Sofer writes that even though there are circumstances where the halacha permits divorce, nonetheless, a person will have to answer in heaven as to all the pain they inflicted on the person they got divorced from. A person can't just say, I was within my rights. There's the monetary rights, there's the legal rights, and then there's the humanistic responsibility. The Chassam Sofer discerns between the two. He says, the fact that I have a legal right to do something doesn't mean that afterwards I won't have to give justification for the pain I caused someone else by utilizing that legal right. So that concept exists.
But why don't say that in the Beit Din?
So that's a much, okay, that's a complicated question.
You should say that.
Okay. That's...